The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. When John caught sight of Jesus coming toward him, he exclaimed, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. It is he of whom I said, 'After me is to come a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I confess I did not recognize him, though the very reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. John gave this testimony also, 'I saw the Spirit descend like a dove from the sky, and it came to rest on him. But as I say, I did not recognize him. The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "When you see the Spirit descend and rest on someone, it is he who is to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now I have seen for myself and have testified, this is God's chosen one." The Gospel of the Lord. And so we move into the stretch of ordinary time. And by ordinary time, we mean away from all of the major celebrations, the Christmas event, the Advent, Lent, and all of the other special feasts. We move into the journey of ordinary time now. We're in the second week of ordinary time, and we will go through the eighth week, which comes up on February 26th, and then March 1st, we will begin the Lenten season with Ash Wednesday. So for the next 6 weeks, we will follow the Gospel of St. Matthew, although ironically today we have the Gospel of St. John, even though this is the year of St. Matthew. And naturally, you might ask, why are we reading from St. John's Gospel? I thought, with all of us studying St. Matthew's Gospel, that we would be reading from it, and we will next week. Interesting, the passage that is chosen for today, the identifying Jesus, now that we have celebrated the mystery of the incarnation, now John is pointing out why he has come into the world. And then next week we will pick up in St. Matthew's Gospel, following directly on that story, the message is brought to Jesus in next week's Gospel. John has been taken in and put in prison. And immediately from there on, John begins to recede and Jesus begins to take over the ministry. And John is perfectly happy with that, because that is why he came into the world. To make him known, to identify him, and to prepare the way for him. And now all of that is accomplished. And we will see Jesus take over then in the gospel. And his ministry becomes a pretty powerful thing. So for the next 6 weeks following St. Matthew, beginning next Sunday, it'll be interesting to follow along with him and see what he is really about. John gives us an indication in today's gospel when John the Baptist says to the disciple, "There he is, that's him, watch him. That's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John could not possibly, I think, have known the extent of what he was really saying. To the religious leadership, they would have said, "That's a sacrilege. Only God alone forgives sins." They didn't know that God had come in flesh into our world. And so it caused quite an anxiety, I'm sure. John saying to the disciples, "There he is," but the disciples immediately catch on. For Jesus, it was like his mission statement. "That's why I've come, to forgive sins." To the religious leadership, that would have been a scandal, because they were so intent on this idea, only God alone forgives sins. And they certainly could not see the Christ as being God. And that becomes a conflict throughout the journey, which we will see as we journey throughout the course of the year. Following him along the way, this becomes a part of the conflict with the religious leadership. You are claiming to be God and claiming to be one with him. And Jesus said, but I am. I have come to forgive sins. This was his mission in the world. It was a radical change. Because the Old Testament experience, they had repentance. Every age and every generation has felt the need for forgiveness. That is because of the, what we call in our Catholic tradition, original sin. The sin influence in the world, we all feel the need to be forgiven and reconciled because we don't measure up in terms of perfection. In the Old Testament, they had days of atonement, and people would come and acknowledge their sins, sometimes writing them down and giving them to the rabbi. And then on Atonement Day, it was customary to bring in a goat. And the priest made a list of the sins of all of the people. He invited them to be repentant and to seek God's forgiveness. And then, knowing the sins of the people, he placed his hands on the head of the goat and he pressed pretty hard on the head as if transferring the sins to the goat. They sent him out into the desert. Thus, the term scapegoat. Still valid and still valuable, and that was it. But it was a part of their ritual. Can you imagine if we had a penance service and we explained to people, hey, we're going to have a goat come in and we're going to put all the sins on him and send him out? You think we get a crowd? Hey, I think you get a huge crowd because it'd be so easy. And from their perspective, there was that sense that you could be lulled into a kind of a perspective, well, that's getting rid of sins. And hey, maybe the ritual didn't bring them about to the real truth. But Jesus did that. As we watch Jesus now in these weeks coming up, how he dealt with sin. That was his primary mission, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Never before had it happened quite in that way. Jesus was here, present now, and desiring to forgive people, to reconcile them. And let's look at it. How did he do it? Totally unorthodox way from what they had done. Traditionally, people went through this kind of a ritual. They hoped to get rid of their sins by putting them on a goat or having a scapegoat or some way of getting out. Jesus wanted to do it in a totally different way, not through just a ritual, but through developing a personal relationship. That's what we'll find. That's how he looked at sinners. Think of the religious leadership of his day. They despised sinners. They used to keep them at arm's length and say, okay, if you repent and go through these strict and rigid penance, then you might be welcomed into the assembly or the community again. Jesus had none of that. Jesus went out and befriended them exactly where they were. Met them as sinners in their brokenness, in their sin, sat down, ate, and drank with them. And doesn't this become the complaint before his crucifixion? See, he eats with sinners and tax collectors, and he proclaims to be forgiving them in God, which he was. And so, not surprising that he ended up on the cross. He was certainly too much of a challenge for the religious leadership. But very interesting as we follow through on this, this is how he chose to forgive people. Not by standing at a distance and saying you are forgiven, but by up close and personal. Up close and personal, befriending them. He put them in touch with the core goodness in themselves. But he could do it because he was the ultimate in goodness. It's a challenge to us to do it because we struggle with our own weaknesses and failings. But the real gift that Jesus had was to look at them. And in every person, every individual, he saw the goodness. And there is that goodness in each of us because we are created in his image and likeness. And the good news for us is that he befriends us as well. And as we start journeying through the gospel and following Jesus carefully as we journey along with St. Matthew, realizing that he sees the goodness in us as well, no matter what failures or sin or weakness scars our lives. Because that is the only way to overcome sin. Sin cannot be overcome through evil means. Evil cannot overcome evil. Look at the word itself, E-V-I-L. When you spell it backwards, you get it right, L-I-V-E, which is what it is, a distortion in living. Jesus came to redirect evil. And evil can only be addressed or conquered through goodness. He is the ultimate goodness. One of the great graces that we have in our tradition is the sacrament of reconciliation. We had nearly 400 people go through Christ's life during the past year. And over again we heard from people rediscovering the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation. That was the grace, and that is why today's gospel is so important, because it sets the foundation for the ministry of Jesus. He came to reconcile people, to turn their hearts to God by forgiving their sins, by forgiving their selfishness, by forgiving their own attachment to self. And he desired for people to grow in that experience of forgiveness, but most of all to grow in their relationship with him. That is why confession is not just a dropping off or a passing of our sins and then going on about our business, because when we are forgiven, we have a personal encounter with him if we really take it seriously. If we just go through a ritual, and God knows, as Catholics, we have been trained, drop in, drop off these, like we were dropping off laundry or something. It's much more than that. What Jesus sought was a personal relationship, and that is very clear in the fact that he sat down with them while they were still in their sin, something the religious leadership was incapable of doing. He sat down with them, showed them that it was a personal relationship, and the forgiveness of sins led them into the heart of that relationship with him. It's a place where we can, confession or the sacrament of reconciliation is a place where we can experience the love that Jesus has for us and where he desires to forgive our sins. It's not an impersonal getting rid of sins and scapegoating or putting them on someone else. Rather, it's a loving encounter with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that is why all that we've talked about in terms of a personal relationship with him, that's so important. Because all the rest, the ritualistic part, I can do from a distance. I cannot do this unless I really trust in the personal relationship. So John's gospel today, setting us up to begin the new year, particularly important. He said, there he is, watch him. He's the one who has come to take away the sin of the world.